And good morning, KRFY listeners. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFY Morning Show. I'm Susie Prez, along with Chris Bessler. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Susie.
And you're here for a short period of time to bring us some information about yesterday's election, the May 16th election yesterday results.
Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. And today is Wednesday, May 17th, 2023. We have two interviews coming up today. The first interview is with guests that are sitting right in front of me right now. Katie Bogalke, she's the Program and Public Relations Coordinator with the Community Resource and Vision Center, along with Janice Lennis Jelinek, who is also the Executive Director of said same organization. We'll be hearing all about your organization and upcoming Love Local event that's coming up May 20th, which is really exciting. My second interview is with folks from the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint, and that's going to be really fun. We'll tell you a little bit about that in a little bit. But Chris, what do you want to tell us?
Well, I'm going to tell you about the election that was concluded just yesterday, and there were two races that were people were watching. First was the East Bonner County Library Trustee. There's one seat open there, and in that race, Susan Shea won with 58.62% of the vote. She received 4,390 votes. Stacy Rodriguez was the challenger. She received 3,099 votes, about 41% of the vote. So the incumbent, Susan Shea, did win the library trustee election. There's also an election for the trustees for the Pondere Hospital District. And the three incumbents all won there. That's Tim Cochran, Bart Casey, and Jim Frank. The fourth winner was Dwayne Scheffler, a challenger, Cynthia Busey, I think was how her name was pronounced, did not win. And they all received around, the three winners all received a little bit over 4,000 votes. Cynthia Busey received around 3,179 votes. And there was an election in the West Bonner County School District, that's the Priest River area, and there their proposed supplemental levy did not pass. It failed. 1685 were against it, in favor with 1582. And actually, those numbers are a little bit off because there are some little chunks of that district that are in Kootenai County that account for about 100, but didn't change the outcome. So the West Bonner County School District supplemental election levy did not pass.
Anything else you want to say about that? Thanks to everyone who went out and voted, for sure.
Yeah,
it's important.
Yeah, well, the library race, of course, was very contentious. Unfortunately, it devolved on from both sides, actually. The folks that were campaigning against Stacy Rodriguez were making some claims that she wanted to ban books in the library, wasn't her position. And then the folks that were campaigning against, and I say against because there were a lot of negative campaigning here, against Susan Shea were making some kind of ridiculous claims that she wanted a stripper pole in the library, which wasn't, of course, at all true. So it's too bad our elections are kind of devolving into these sorts of, a lot of false misleading information that goes out there. But I think the voters, you know, they weighed things out and they made their decision here. So
I sometimes think that when that kind of contentious election rhetoric starts happening, it can move us back to a central place where it's a little more balanced eventually, because that's fair. We want truth and fairness in our elections. So let's hope that happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And other than that, I'll just throw out, there's a lot of stuff going on this week, and you have a big packed schedule today, but it's Lost in the 50s weekend. There's a second showing of Into the Woods. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on that people can see on our website.
And the Sandpoint Magazine is coming out.
Sandpoint Magazine comes out on Friday. Yeah.
There you go, from the Keoki.
Yeah, that's my day job. That's where I'm going to right now.
Yeah, and we want to thank Sandpoint Online for giving us our community calendar on our website. You can check everything out there at krfy.org. So thanks, Chris, for coming in with that important breaking news.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good interview.
Hey, thank you, Chris.
And Katie.
Yeah.
Bye now.
We'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Have a great day.
So that was Chris Bessler with the latest on the Bonner County election results. And if you don't get to hear our whole morning show interview today, you can go to our website later in the day for a podcast. Look for it there. You can hear everything. So let's start with our two smiling folks, friends here, Katie Bogalke, again, Program and Public Relations Coordinator, and Lenis Jelinek, Executive Director of the Community Resource Envision Center. So, hi, gals.
Good morning.
Yes, Susie. Good morning, Susie.
Yeah, it's good to have you. And it's always good because there's new people listening, and I have to tell you, more and more people listening. Tell us a little bit, one of you, about the Community Resource Envision Center. It used to be called something else, Community Resource something.
We were the Sandpoint Community Resource Center for about 10 years, and in 2021, we made a shift to really be a little more inclusive with other nonprofits and to really create a hub of resources in our community where people in crisis or in need can go to one place, really, and get help for multiple needs, because most days it just seems like the folks that are coming to us have more than one need, and so this way they can come to one place and get a kind of a plan of action and some referrals and some help just getting started in the right direction to get them or and their family on their feet.
When you say folks in need, first, there's two questions that come to mind. What kind of needs are you talking about? And how many people in our community are really in that? And it's not a stigma. It's Mm-mm. just reality. So what does that look like? And in our community, how big of a need is that?
Well, it's the numbers, the statistics are pretty shocking. It's about 48% of our people that are in the ALICE population, which is Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed. So it's people who are working, it's really the working poor. And that is a report that's done by United Way, and they do them all throughout the country. And so it's about 48%. And what the ALICE population is they're folks that are barely making ends meet. They're barely making their day-to-day expenses and responsibilities. So if they have an unexpected expense, like you know, a dental emergency with a child or the car breaks down, they make decisions. Do I fix the car to keep my job or pay the rent? And so, you know, an unexpected expense can throw a family really into a spiral that then creates a multi-need situation.
Mm-hmm. And then since 2020, we've discovered that we have helped 5% of Bonner County residents have come to the Envision Center for assistance of some sort or another. So that could be, you know, housing assistance. This could be trying to find the food bank. This could be, you know, a myriad of things. But what we're finding really is that it's never just one. It's multiple. And that's what the Community Resource Envision Center really hangs their hat on, is getting people connected to all the resources, being that central hub, and then like creating a plan and following up with that person to make sure that they're getting what they need from those relationships that we have with those other service providers and organizations.
So it's a multi-level approach to those needs. I'm thinking about, we all know that we have a housing crisis here.
Absolutely.
And how does the Envision Center work with the housing crisis? I know that there's a lot of agencies that are working on multiple levels to solve this, because when you're talking about that 48%, that is a big thing that takes a huge chunk out of a working family budget.
Absolutely.
So last year we discovered some CARES Act money that was still available through Idaho Housing and Finance, that was available for North Idaho, and we found it around the beginning of March, and we worked with them for 9 months before that pool of money ran out. We were able to help 86 individuals and families with actual rental assistance that was paid directly to their landlord to the tune of, drumroll, $410,000.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say $40,000. Okay.
$410,000 was brought to our community, and that's money from outside, so it's not like using donor money, you know, that where we're just recycling.
And it's not a handout.
No, it's not a handout.
If people have that kind of concern. But when you're at that level of income, any, you know, for all things, you need money. Like you said, dentist, car expenses, breakdowns. Because if your car breaks down, you can't get to work. Absolutely. You can lose your job. That's how people become, what's the new term? Not homeless, but
houseless.
Houseless. Or, so, yeah. Whatever that is. But that does shelter lead challenge. Us into our next thing. Anything else about the work you're doing? It's pretty awesome. Really.
No, that okay, was an amazing, amazing thing. You know, and it keeps people in their homes, right? They really were about to become homeless. So now they have food. They have money for their food, for their groceries, for their children.
And in those 86 cases, 76 children were in those cases that we helped keep in their homes. And, you know, when families are disrupted, you know, during a school year, anytime really, it's very traumatic for children. And so we really really take a lot of we're really, I hate to say pride, but we're really excited and joyful that this money's available. And the governor just signed another tranche of money, $32 million, and that does not include money for Ada County because usually they scoot in and get most of it.
Sure.
So $32 million. We've already opened probably about a dozen cases, and that's just been in just over a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is rental assistance available if people go to our website, CRECIdaho.com. It's the first thing that comes up. It's step 1, 2, 3. The first step, you can see yourself if you qualify. And then the second step is a checklist of what to bring with you and to make an appointment. And we will get your case open. And actually, as long as the money lasts, they can reapply every 3 months. So they'll get 3 months of assistance and they can apply again up to 18 months.
It sounds like a vital organization for our people in our community, for the citizens of Bonner County. Okay, so when we're talking about needs in other areas, to have a job, let's talk about women.
Mm-hmm.
To have a job, you need to have nice clothes to go to a job. Anyways, that's my segue into your event that's coming up. I'm going to let you explain it. It's a Cobby clothing event. That you're hosting, and it's vital for what we're talking about, getting your feet on the ground and stuff. So it's coming up Saturday, May 20th. Tell us all about it.
Well, let me tell you first how this came about.
Sure.
So a lot of your listeners are familiar with Cobby clothing. It's kind of a high-end private, you know, kind of private stylist that fits you and sell you clothing. Well, they have a foundation, and they do these events between Mother's Day and the end of May throughout the country. And so we had to apply. Usually they're in larger cities. We had to apply, and it was kind of like writing a grant. They did part. I did part. And this is the first one in the state of Idaho, and we're so excited. Last year it was in Spokane, and so that's how it came to be, and Cobby actually sent over 400 pieces of new clothing, and then we are supplementing with some other vendors and people. Mm-hmm. So, Katie, why don't you tell us about what the day's going to
be? Yeah, so we're just, one, thrilled that this opportunity came on our doors, and it really supports our mission and what we do, right? Just the multifaceted way that we come alongside community members and organizations. So we're thrilled that it's coming, and we have 45 women who are going to be in attendance, and each of those women are going to get to leave with several outfits. So they're going to leave with a new wardrobe. They have some scarves and makeup and all sorts of fun things. They'll get food and snacks. And it's just an opportunity for our volunteers to love on these women, purses, shoes, you know, the whole gamut. They're going to feel loved. And then what's neat is there's all these other Cobby events going on throughout the country right now. And Phyllis Faro, she is our Cobby stylist who kind of brought this to our doorstep. She's been sharing with us a lot of the pictures and the stories from those other events. So we just can't wait to really love on these women.
It's called Love Local.
Love Local, yes.
And so earlier before we started the show, you were talking about how many will participate, but you mentioned your volunteers are there to support. Let's talk a little bit about the volunteers and then how it's going to unfold on Saturday. And you're full, I'm taking it.
Yes, we are full. We've reached our max of women. And we have, I think there's about maybe 12 CREC volunteers that are coming to help. And so we'll set it up like an actual store. They'll get greeted. They'll meet their stylist. Their stylist will take them into the wardrobe. They'll start pulling outfits. We have dressing rooms. Our Envision Center space is absolutely perfect for this, actually.
It's huge.
Which is great. And we do have renters in our space now, so we have to be a little careful about that. But we're so thrilled that those renters have no issues with us inviting all these people in. And our space is just set up wonderfully for this. So the women will get their personalized cabbie stylist. They'll have a CREC supporter running and reshuffling clothes and bringing others other items for them to try on. And at the end of the day, they're going to get to leave with an entire new, you know, wardrobe of like 6 to 10 items, which is amazing. Yes. Mostly new. Some is gently used or, you know, still has the tags on it that was donated to us from people in the community. But so we have three sessions each with, you know, about 16 women coming in for each session, and they'll just get showered with love and blessings. So we're thrilled to do it.
I can tell you're both really excited about this. And it says, we hope you'll join us. But what you're saying is invite people. And that's happened already.
That part has completed. So we worked with several of our nonprofit partners to ask them to reach out to their networks and extend invitations to women that they've been helping throughout the year. We've reached out to several church organizations. And then on Facebook, we let the community nominate women. So that's how we got all the gals that are coming. And they're coming from all walks of life. And we're just, you know, some of them want their picture taken. Some of them are using their real names. Some of them are using aliases. We just are respecting women to come in here and just get what they need for the day. So,
and what is the hope that by having some beautiful clothing, new, not scrounging around for whatever you might think you need, and being pampered and taken care of like this, what is the vision for someone to experience?
Yeah, maybe? It's the restoration of your dignity. And that is what the Cabbie Foundation really puts their heart into by hosting these events, is that through this new wardrobe, you get a sense of your dignity back, and you just have some pride walking out of the door and some confidence in, you know, taking on that new job or just turning the corner and, you know, walking out as a new mom or whatever that is.
Yeah, and I believe when you feel loved, you feel empowered.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want to do, is we want women to leave knowing that they are seen, they are loved by our community. And we want them leaving with their head high and feeling good about what they got to go do.
It can really make a difference, you know, especially when you've maybe been experiencing a lack in your life. This is abundance,
mm-hmm.
a feeling of
mm-hmm.
abundance. So I like the idea that it's confidential. Take lots of pictures of the ones
yes.
that are appropriate, because I think it would be a fun to see, like possibly in the Reader or the Bee or somewhere.
Yes, you know, absolutely. Public. Absolutely.
And okay, so that is Saturday.
That is Saturday. The only problem with this event is that it's during Lost in the 50s. It's the only problem.
Yeah. Who knew?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you have enough volunteers to
we do.
Pull this off?
Yeah, we absolutely do. And no, we shouldn't have an issue whatsoever. And I think that people are going to find just as much joy giving their time and service as they would, you know, watching the parade.
Sure.
It'll be just as joyful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So did you have something, Lynette?
No.
Okay.
No,
so
that's good.
I'm
excited.
Good job finding, they came to you, Cabbie
mm-hmm.
Clothing. I have never heard of that or that brand, but.
I had not either, but it's adorable.
Is it adorable?
It's adorable, and it's very professional, and a lot of women love it. And it's been interesting, too, that when we talk about this, people just chime up, and their face lights up, and they've been wearing Cabbie for years, apparently.
Okay.
That's news to me.
That's mm-hmm. very
But
cool.
Now they're on our radar.
I want to just get back a little bit to CREC, which is Community Resource Envision Center. It's vital work that you're doing. And as you, we talked a lot about housing. What are some of the other, so you connect people to resources due to their needs?
Yeah, we'll make, you know, when people come in, and like I said before, most people come with more than one need. So we really need to sit down and ask a lot of questions and come up with an action plan for them. A lot of times we'll make phone calls for them and ask an organization, is this a good referral for you? I think Katie mentioned our follow-up. We have like about a 98% follow-up with people. And a lot of times when we follow up, we hear comments like, wow, I can't believe you're calling to see how my appointments went. Or we'll discover other needs mm-hmm. during that follow-up call. So we're like, come on back in. Let's figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and there's housing and food and medical, and we have just
transportation.
Transportation. From February to May, I just was looking at some information yesterday. We've helped 13 single parents, 11 families with two-parent families, two sets of grandparents raising grandkids, and that represents 54 kids. So we've really been focused on, everything that we do and how many children are impacted by all the services that we do. In fact, in the past decade, we've helped over 2,081 families with children. And when people think about us, they don't really think about us as children's resources. But we help everybody. We don't turn anyone away. And we really, there are a lot of resources here for children. And we just kind of, we keep a pulse on who's out there, who's doing what, and so that we can readily make referrals that are really efficient for families because they're in crisis. You don't want to send them here, send them there, because we lose them in that process.
So kind of coordinating being the central thing that holds everything together. I think about food for our children who do the backpacks, the weekend backpacks. Mm-hmm. I mean, for some people, a child coming to school hungry does not help them move forward.
Right. And the Envision Center is like, okay, well, that child fortunately is still in school because they're still in a home, and we're focusing on keeping them in that home, keeping them in school, and then that food for our children comes alongside. So sometimes it's hard for us to like really succinctly share what we do because it's up in the clouds and it's keeping all these things together. But it's really that ripple effect that it has by making these initial contacts and decisions and connections for these families.
Well said.
Well said.
And I'm trying to tee us off for something big, Linus. Do you want to share?
Okay, we want to hear it.
What, the Christmas in July?
Yes.
So,
what's coming up?
Well, we have, first let's go, should we go in order?
Let's go in order.
Next thing coming up, May 25th. So we have our SPIN community, which is Service Provider Information Network. This is over 300 service providers in our community that have come together and said, yeah, we want to, as appropriate, topic specific, we want to stay in community, we want to collaborate, we want to find out where there are overlaps, where there are gaps, where we can, where the service providers, the people who are really boots on the ground, face-to-face with people, what do they need? And how do we find solutions to the gaps that we see? And so that's what's going on. We have a SPIN meeting, and this is going to be centered around housing because that seems to be the greatest need in our community. So it's going to be service providers. It's for service providers. It really isn't a public event. But people can come and ask questions, and it's really going to be focused around the HPP program, which is the housing preservation and the rental assistance through Idaho Housing and Finance. And that's what we're going to focus on. So people can come, whether they're counselors, counseling people, so that they know exactly what the details are and how they can get the information out to people who need rental assistance. So that is happening at 9 a.m. on Thursday, May 25th.
And that's at your center?
Yes.
Okay. So it's not really open to the public, but if there was a service provider and they thought they fit into that picture, they could contact you either by phone or through the website.
Yes.
And that website again is?
CRECIdaho.com.
And did you want to give out a phone number or do you prefer that?
208-920-1840.
You know, when you're talking about all the things that the Community Resource and Vision Center does, and it's broad, it's very broad. And I'm sure that you're finding new things all the time that are gaps that are need to be filled. It sounds like you have a team of about 100 people, but you don't. So right. How do you pull this off?
Well, I have an amazing team that everybody works in their lane and we work really well together. So it's myself, Katie, and Angela Barber, who's not with us today because she's actually helping clients this morning. And she is our resource specialist and really has really taken on the housing. She's a veteran and super capable and has worked with officers in the DOD and in an administrative position, and we just, man, she's just running with this. And our goal with the housing this time is to bring as much money here to Bonner and Boundary County as we can.
That $32 million from the governor,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
We're on it.
Yeah. and that's important because the need is great here. It's just changing so fast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The frustrating part of it is when people come in and they don't have a lease or they don't have that home and we can't get them into that program yet. So it really is for people who are in a place currently and need rental assistance. If you're still looking for a place, you really have to have that lease in hand for this to apply to you. And we hate that that's the case because it makes us not be able to take them to that next step. But
sure, that's for rental assistance, but you probably have resources to connect
to
them
help
to
connect
find
them to find those, right. those housing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As hard as that is right now.
Right.
Something affordable.
Right, exactly.
And then we have our, why don't you talk about, Katie has chaired our Idaho Golf Classic.
Yes, this is my first year. We have 2 minutes. I think we should skip the Idaho Golf Classic.
Yeah.
Well, that's coming up. Go to the website, see all of the events.
It's all booked. Yeah. It's just going to be awesome. That's all there is to say about that. Pray for good weather. Right. Yes, it's our biggest fundraiser of the year until we're announcing, this was in the Daily Bee.
Breaking news.
Yes, folks. Breaking news, folks. Yeah. Go ahead, Linus. This is big.
Well, as you know, we've adopted, inherited, gifted, I don't know what you want to call it, but we are grateful to be taking over the Festival of Trees. And so we're really going to be launching in July to involve the community and looking for new volunteers, people who want to participate in the event and help us with the event. And so watch for that. It'll be Christmas in July, and we're really excited, and we're excited to draw attention to just how many children the Envision Center has not only helped in the past decade, but even just in the past 3 months. And we're really excited to that the confidence was given by Kinderhaven to select us as
They know you'll manage that really well because you can, you know.
Right.
How.
We have two awesome board chairs that are taking on the event, Becca Orchard and Olivia
Luther.
And so they're heading that up for us. It's going to be amazing. But yeah, that in July. So if anyone who's listening has wanted to be part of the Festival of Trees in the past, share your time, your treasures, your talents, whatever that thing is that makes you excited about those holiday seasons. We want you to be part of this because we have an opportunity to, you know, we're going to keep the tradition alive and continue the legacy, but there's an opportunity for things to shift a little bit. And if your passion lies in sleigh bells and Christmas carols and all that goodness, we want you to come and be part of it.
And the family night, we're bringing back the family night on Thursday night.
Yeah.
I have a feeling we need to have you come back on to the station as you get a little closer to some of these events coming up.
Yes.
So you're always welcome. That's what we do here. We connect our amazing nonprofit organizations that are supporting our community and our citizens. So I want to thank you both for coming in.
Well, we want to thank you not for just having us, but for having all those organizations and doing what you do day after day, and for getting up at 4 a.m, Susie.
Well, that was an accident. Normally it would be 5. So I want to thank you both. We have Katie Bogalke, Program and Public Relations Coordinator, and Lenis Jelinek, Executive Director at Community Resource and Vision Center, telling us about all the amazing things that you're doing. And it really, truly is amazing. I don't know if every community has something like this, but we're very fortunate. So thank you for the work you do, and thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thanks
okay.
For
and I just want to remind our listeners, if you did not get to hear this interview today, you can go to krfy.org.